Mornings with Bucky and Aaron are brought to you by Bud Light.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Rolling on a Friday, it is the fourth quarter of our four-hour program. A lot to do, though, before the end. We're going to be a fourth-quarter team today, Buck. We're going to be, unlike the Longhorns, we're going to be a fourth-quarter show. We're finishing strong.
Well, we're going to go back to our fundamentals.
Or we're going to collapse and fall apart and fall asleep. But that's not the case. We'll finish strong on this Friday with no Longhorn game this weekend, no Cowboys this weekend, both on byes. There's a big race out of COTA, though. Circuit of the Americas, the F1 race is in town. Biggest race in the world on Sunday. We'll get a little bit more on that. But right now, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline and talk some NFL football with a gentleman that has been covering the NFL for the Houston Chronicle for 45 years. He is a legend in the industry, and we are thrilled to have John McClain on the show with us once again. John, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm thrilled to be on again. Thank you.
It's always a pleasure to have you, John.
Certainly
good to hear
is.
From you.
Thank you,
John. The Texans, as we talk now, as I said, you've done this for 4.5 decades, and you've seen a lot. You've seen good Oiler teams, and the Oilers leave, and you know the company. I mean, this has got to be a hard beat right now over the last 18 months, 12 months of covering this particular team with this leadership and all that's gone on from what you've seen the last year and a half.
It's nothing compared to what it was like two times with the Oilers, the 1993 season, in which defensive tackle Jeff Baum blew his brains out. Buddy Ryan and Kevin Gilbride were going at it, and Baby Gate happened, which was a national show. And then the last 2 years when they were in the process of moving, that was a lot worse than this. You know, I've been through so many bad seasons with teams here. You know, and the truth is, like, I've written two stories on Sean Watson the last 2 days, and I noticed they've been number one on our website overall, the Astros stuff, which to me is preposterous considering the Astros are one game from going to the World Series for the third time in 5 years. But that shows you how much interest there is in the Texans and Watson, even when the team is awful. They're rebuilding. And just like the Rockets did last year, like the Rockets that the Astros did 3 years. And so people here understand that. They don't like the Texans. But I tell them, give the new GM, Nick Caserio, and the new coach, David Culley, a chance. Don't judge them based on 1-5, which is what they should be, because I don't know why anybody would want them to win 4 or 5 games.
Hey, John, on Deshaun Watson, I mean, the NFL eventually is going to do something. And it's unusual that they're sitting back this long on making a decision of what they will do with him. But he's not playing, so it's hard for them to what can they do when he's not playing? They still could say, when you do get back, wherever you are, this is how many games it's going to happen to you, because they've taken out guys for less for sure. So your expectations that they will do something when he does arrive with either the Texans or any other ball club?
Well, first of all, they suspended guys who haven't even been in the league.
Yeah.
And so to let people know this guy won't be available for 4 games or 6 games, I think if they were going to suspend him, they would have already done it. I think they're going to put him on the exempt list. They would have already done it. I think Miami and Houston intensified their talks this week. They've been off and on for 8 months. Miami is the only team he has told them so far he will waive his no-trade clause. Other teams have been interested. He says, no, I'm not going there. I want to go to the Dolphins. Nick Caserio, the GM's, asked for 3 ones and 2 twos. I believe he'll get the 3 ones, not sure if 2 twos, or if they have to reduce the lower picks. But he's going to get a package over the next 2 or 3 years that will help them rebuild. And the key are the legal issues. You know, everything's been quiet on the legal front now for weeks. We don't know what to read into that, if anything. I have no clue what's going on the legal front. All I know is deadlines usually spur action, and the November 2nd deadline is coming up. I'd love to see him get it done this week, but time's running out, because that would give him 2 weeks to prepare for the Texans on November 7th. What a game that would be. Deshaun Watson's first game against his former team. You talk about a revenge game, but the longer it goes, the less likely that is to happen. So I think he'll be with the Dolphins. I think that the owner, Stephen Ross, before he finalized the trade, would know from Roger Goodell what the situation was as far as the league's concerned. We still have a police investigation that's been going on for 9 months. Nothing's happened with that either. And so I think if the Dolphins, here's why the Dolphins would like to do this deal, is because if they don't do it by the November 2nd deadline, then they're going to have to wait before the draft. By the time the draft rolls around, the Giants, two number ones, Detroit, two number ones, maybe Pittsburgh, Big Ben retires, maybe Seattle, they trade Russell Wilson, plus Denver and Carolina, Philadelphia, and the Dolphins have been the four that have been the most consistently interested. And right now, those other teams are going with other quarterbacks. So if Miami were going to do it, this would be the time to do it. Don't wait until you've been thrown into the hopper with all these others. But the fact is, he can still veto teams. I think because he's from Gainesville, Georgia, which is right up in the northeastern part of the state by the Carolinas, he would approve a trade to the Panthers. But the Panthers right now are going with Sam Darnold, and after a hot start, he's not playing very well. So they'll be in a mix if they wait until the draft.
John McClain is with us, as we said. Houston Chronicles covered the NFL for 45 years for that paper. And John, you laid it out pretty well on that. When I listened to you say that, you know, there'll be a lot more competition come, you know, February or March before the draft for the Dolphins, wouldn't that behoove the Texans then to wait and try to drive the price up? Or do they just want out from under this mess and move on from Deshaun Watson and take whatever the Dolphins will give them?
I think if he gets his three first-round picks and then a couple of other picks, maybe he'll stick to his guns on the twos. Maybe he won't. I think they would do the deal. Well, the last thing the Texans want is a repeat of this season. Watson comes to, he reported at start of camp to keep from being fined $50,000 a day under the new collective bargaining agreement that was agreed on last year. Players, teams cannot forgive fines like they always did. So he showed up. He goes to work every day. He works out on his own, and then he goes and lifts weights and does everything they need to do physically. Then he goes to meetings. Then he goes home, and he's inactive on game days, and he makes $10.54 million. If this were to drag out, say every team insisted before the draft, we're not going to do it until those legal issues are resolved, and they still weren't, then the Texans could be on the hook next year for the same thing for $35 million. They don't want to pay him $35 million to do nothing.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. John, do you have any idea or suspicion of what does this cost Deshaun Watson when it comes to legal fees, even up to this date, and including what's going to happen with 2022 or 21 other settlements that he may have to make? Can you imagine?
No idea on any of this, if anything involving settlements, but he's made millions of dollars. He's going to make millions more dollars. He lost all but one sponsor. But I tell you what, you guys know he played great last year. I mean, we went without DeAndre Hopkins, without Will Fuller for 5 games, Randall Cobb for 6 games. No matter who they put out there, he was fantastic. He finished his career best in every stat. It didn't translate to victories because their defense was terrible. Their offense, the running game, was next to worst. Run defense was the worst. But he played his butt off, and he's only 26 years old.
Yeah, I believe he's the most potent weapon in the NFL, actually.
Yeah. Whoever makes that deal for him, and I think it'll be Miami, they're going to have a quarterback for another 10 to 15 years, depending on how long he wants to play.
John, the legal stuff you mentioned, I mean, if the NFL was going to suspend him, they would have already. They are doing their own investigation. We can't know what's going to happen with the legal proceedings, but does the fact that the NFL hasn't even suspended him to this point give him some credence that you know, there may be a way out of this thing for him legally?
Well, not legally. It could be a way out of it with the NFL. The NFL has been waiting on the Houston police investigation, and that's been going on for now almost 10 months. So I'm pretty sure if the Dolphins are ready to do this deal and they want the legal issues clarified, they want clarity on the legal issues. They know that the NFL is not going to do anything, or maybe they're going to suspend him for four games. The Dolphins are 1-5, and they don't have their number one pick. They have the 49ers. And so that would go to the Texans. And next year, the Texans will get the Dolphins and the 49ers number ones. And I'm pretty sure if they're trying to make this deal work, they have a good idea that he's not going to be suspended at all, or it could be minimal.
You know, John,
hasn't been charged, and he hasn't been convicted.
You know, John, it doesn't sound like anybody wants Tua. They said we'll do this deal, but we don't want your quarterback. I mean, is that? I mean, when you can even get a guy like Tua as part of this deal, but because I would take a number one before I take Tua. I mean, for a guy who was hurt in college all the time, my expectations were he's probably going to be hurt in the NFL if he couldn't stay healthy in college. So, but does it look like it's going to be that way? It's going to have nothing to do with Tua at all if they go that direction?
Tua Tagovailoa has been hurt every year he's played football, going back to when he started playing at Alabama. And I've not heard his name mentioned one time in any of the conversations I've had with Texans people that he's part of the package. They want draft choices. They want first-round picks. They're not going to say, okay, we'll take two and Tua. Now, if they said, we'll give you three and we'll throw in Tua to get out from under his contract, I don't think they'd do that. I'm not sure. They're looking at Davis Mills, our top draft choice. 2 weeks ago, he had the greatest game against Bill Belichick of any rookie in history. And then he was terrible in the next game in Indy. So he's experiencing the usual ups and downs of a rookie, especially a rookie who's only started 14 games since high school.
Yeah, and it's not a great quarterback crop next year as well, as you're looking at that big picture. But Davis Mills is getting the playing time, and the Texans are getting a good look at him right now. John McClain with us, predicting that. So you feel like this will happen before the deadline on November 2nd, that Deshaun will be a Dolphin and the Texans will get the draft picks?
They were hoping to get it done by the end of the week. And I'm not sure yet, because they had made calls today, what the holdup is. I still think it has to do with the legal ramifications, but I think somehow deadline will spur them to do this deal. If not, then Miami can just keep going on with Tua in the future.
Real quick, John, on the game this week, the Cardinals obviously are the only 6-0 team in the NFL. The Texans are going there. It's a heavy underdog, 17.5 points. And what do you make of the Cardinals? I know you guys have got a chance to talk to J.J. Watt this week. DeAndre Hopkins is there, Kyler Murray. It really feels, or certainly feels to me, like this is a legit contender in the NFC to play in the Super Bowl.
Their first 6-0 start since 1974, when Don Corio was the Cardinals coach in St. Louis. They've got balance. They're fifth in rushing. Kyler Murray's an MVP candidate. They've done a great job of drafting, and they've done a great job of filling in with trades and signing veteran free agents. As Watt talked about, they've got a great mix. Now, they play in a really tough division, but they've got it going on. They're about to be 7-0. And they're going to just stomp the Texans.
I would agree. And the Cowboys, John, you know, we're getting excited here. For a lot, all of our Cowboy fans are getting fired up, thinking that Cowboys team has a chance to be in the mix for the Super Bowl as well.
I said last year they would run away with the division, and they would have if Dak hadn't gotten hurt. I said this year they'd run away with the division. The division's terrible, and they're going to. The key is make sure Dak stays healthy, and then, you know, they're going to the playoffs. They're going to win the division. Can they compete for home field advantage? Why not? If Arizona can do it, why can't the Cowboys? Defense is a lot better. They're getting Lyle Collins back. And the key, of course, with every team is injuries. But I think the Cowboys are going to be a really good team and play at least one playoff game at home.
You know, John, your thoughts on the Astros headed back to the World Series?
I gave up on them when they lost those two games in a row and got clobbered by the Red Sox in their starting pitching. Couldn't get out of the second inning. Then Framber Valdez comes back and pitches the best game of the playoffs. Now they're going with a rookie, Luis Garcia, who was awful in his first start. I will not doubt the Astros again.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And who knows, are they going to win tonight or Saturday? That Jason Castro single in the ninth a couple nights ago goes down in all-time Astro lore for
sure.
After a bad call by the umpire, and the Red Sox fans will never let him live it down. Hey, John, thanks a lot. Good to hear you. Let's do this more often. We appreciate the insights and the information.
Thank you, John.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you. Anytime.
John McClain, Houston Chronicle. I've said this before. I don't want to make John feel old, but when I was a kid doing a newspaper route in Houston, Texas, I had to come home from school, and I'd wrap the papers, right? Then you got to go deliver them. Did it on a bike for a while, then on a moped. And first thing I would do, because I'd get the paper first, right? I got to, you know, take the scissors and open up. You know, they come bound.
That's right.
So you got to break them open and then put them together.
That big old thick rubber band around
it. Yeah, you got to wrap them either in a bag or a rubber band, depending on the weather. And the first thing I would do is rip open that sports page, and I would read John McClain in the Houston Chronicle covering my beloved Houston Oilers. That's how long I've been reading John. But
yeah, he's thinking Tua not a part of this deal.
That's
been hurt ever since he started playing football.
Here's a text that says Watson should never play another down. And look, but that's from a guy who's covered this story every day since it began.
Right.
Saying that he said it right. If the NFL were going to suspend Deshaun Watson, they already would have. They've done their own investigation. They've talked to the authorities. I feel like if at some point there's an arrest, a criminal arrest of Deshaun Watson, which has not happened yet, the NFL would certainly immediately react and suspend. But as John just said, it's been 10 months. And I think the fact that the Dolphins are heating this thing up, because you know they have their own investigators, Buck. I mean, these are billion-dollar organizations.
Right.
They're not going to make a trade of this magnitude.
No.
Without a thorough investigation. And
then they're going to know what Roger Goodell is going to do.
Yes.
Everybody's going to know exactly what he's going
to
do.
There's no way. Stephen Ross is a billionaire. He owns that team. He's talked to Roger Goodell. And before this deal would ever get consummated, he will have gotten assurances that
yes,
he needs.
Yes, this is what's going to happen, yes.
That if I trade for this guy, you're not going to up and suspend him for the rest of the season, are you? That would have to be, those conversations would have to be had, which, you know, people will say, well, what about the 22 civil? This is what I don't, no one knows. I mean, but if the NFL hasn't suspended him and the NFL say, no, he's good to go, the problem right now is just between the Texans and Deshaun, and it's all about he wants traded and he's got his feet buried in the sand, then, you know, that's where this story is. But at the same time, I tend to agree with John. If you can get three number one picks and a couple of seconds and maybe a player, that's probably as good as you're going to do for Deshaun Watson.
For sure.
At this point.
And eventually it's going to get to the point where you're only going to get two.
And that would be your fear, right? Because I think John's right. If the legal stuff goes away or he handles it or whatever, I don't know. If charges are never filed criminally and these civil cases get dealt with and the league doesn't suspend him, if he can then, he can be your starting quarterback for the next 15 years. And you better get a lot for that. I mean, those dudes are
sure.
Hard to find.
Yes.
So to John's other point that, you know, if you get to February and March and the season's over, you would have 5, 6, 7, 8 teams maybe bidding for Deshaun
Watson. It looks like Miami's waiting for this because they're done with Tua.
Right, and that's what John's point was, that Miami wants to get this now where they're the only bidder, right? They're the only team that's really engaging right now because, you know, Carolina's playing out their season with Sam Darnold, Philadelphia's going with Jalen Hurts. Denver may be interested, but at this time, I think Denver is more interested in Aaron Rodgers next offseason than they are Deshaun Watson.
True.
Right now. So Miami is really the only player in this right now. So in their mind, boy, can we get this thing done? We don't have to compete with everybody come March. And if you're the Texans, you get out from under the mess. You begin the rebuild process for your fans and for your new general manager. I don't know that it's a happy ending, but it would be the mess out of your court and over
right.
to Miami's court. I don't know, man. That story. That's why I asked John, as this is as tough a beat as he's covered. And I really meant not just Deshaun, but just the collapse of the organization in the last 18 months has been stunning. But and you're going to see two of those key guys, J.J. Watt and DeAndre Hopkins, this weekend when you go to Arizona, who were, you know, central figures of your football team not long ago. Now they're playing elsewhere. But interesting stuff. John McClain, 45 years. He's covered the Houston in the NFL for the Houston Chronicle. Appreciate him giving us the latest. He does believe a deal will get done before November the 2nd and maybe even before the end of this weekend. We'll see how it plays out. We'll come back. When we do, we'll reset Bucky's Gold Star Lock Picks of the Week. He went 3-0 last week. We'll also make our Supreme Lending Picks for charity before the end of the show. It's B&E on a great Friday on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Hey, breaking up for D'Ernest Johnson and the Browns last night. They beat the Broncos 17-14 to open up Week 7 of the NFL. Who is that, you say? Who? Yeah, he's the third-string running back in Cleveland.
What?
He looked good, too. Former South Florida Bull.
Behind that line, yes.
Yeah, man. That line got dominated by the Arizona Cardinals 1 week previous, so that might tell you how good the Cardinals are. But they'll play the Texans. And a lot of thoughts on the Deshaun Watson thing coming in on the text line. Look, I mean, that story is so... I don't know, you know, we've been doing this 20-plus years, Buck. I don't know we've had a story this odd.
No, not really.
like, you know, the situation is as ugly as it can be, and he looks to be some type of predator, but at the same time, you know, the NFL has Lisa Friel investigating this for them. She's a former, you know, prosecutor herself, and they still said, we don't have anything to suspend him. So that story is still has to evolve, but the Texans are trying to get out from under it, it appears, and we'll continue to follow it.
Yeah, and whoever's going to deal with him is going to know how many games he's going to be suspended, because that's an NFL owner, and the commissioner's going to let him know, here's where we stand. We're not letting you make some crazy deal to screw up our NFL.
Yeah, I mean, and again,
they could say, "Yeah, we'll let you do that. This is your deal. You're the one who's making the deal." But I got a feeling the commissioner's going to let anybody know what's going to happen to them.
Yeah,
and how many games and what's going to happen.
They have their own investigative wing at the NFL.
Right.
And I would also say this: anytime you talk to Sean Watson and say anything about maybe he's going to be okay, get off of this, then
I don't think. Like I think there's still going to be games.
It's like you're defending a predator, but at the same time. You know, his lawyer's accusation is this is a, you know, conspiracy to
consensual, and this was consensual.
Yeah, that these were, you know, maybe at any level prostitution where he was paying for this. And remember, the FBI is investigating this too,
right?
But they're investigating from the other side. They're not investigating Deshaun Watson. They're investigating was he being blackmailed, you know, from ladies from out of state. So the FBI's gotten involved. So that story is just so unique and weird and ugly. But at the same time, at this point, he's still good to play. If the Dolphins were to trade for him, they could put him on the field Sunday. But that has not happened yet. All right, so, Buck, we're making picks. You made your three Gold Star picks earlier, and one of them is a game we're going to pick right now. Let's go to the Vaqueros hotline. He is John McClellan, Supreme Lending. His team, of course, Chris Waters has a team, and as does Coke FM and ourselves here at the Horn. It's us. It's the four teams going head-to-head and picks for charity. John, how are you?
Well, I'm not doing very good on the pick'em contest this year, boys, I will tell you.
Yeah, well, I think right now.
I think this is it's comeback. It's comeback season right now. Comeback week.
This is comeback week. Well, it's also, I think Coke FM is winning right now. We can't let the country's radio station beat us. And I'll have to continue to say that, you know, everybody's got an anchor on their team, and like, meaning, like, not like the anchor leg, but the team, the group that's dragging you down.
It's a true anchor.
And that's our midday show. I got to tell you, John, they're really. They're hurting us.
We've even given our producer to help them out, and it's still going downhill.
Yeah, I saw their numbers. They didn't look that great.
Come on, man. All right, so we've got pick'em games, and this, as we've said all week, this isn't a blockbuster week of games, so finding, you know, compelling games was somewhat of a challenge this week. But we've got five of them, two in the college ranks. We'll start with this one, John McClellan. Oklahoma State is the eighth-ranked team in the country. They are going to Ames, Iowa to play Iowa State 2:30 Saturday. What do you think?
Cowboys.
Oklahoma State on the road as an underdog. Buck, where are we going?
We'll take Children of the Corn.
The Corn!
Yeah.
We're in on Matt, in on Matt Campbell's side. All right, yes. We've got Iowa State. All right, this is a pick'em game in Vegas, so it's dead even. Kansas State in Lubbock to face Texas Tech. Buck, where are we going?
We're
going to
go with Tech.
Tech. Wreck'em Tech.
Wreck'em Tech.
With Sonny Colombo playing quarterback
yes.
for them. John, what do you
I'm
think?
I'm going with the tortillas myself.
The tortilla tossers?
Okay.
All right, John McClellan, Team John McClellan, Supreme Lending, go Texas Tech. The other college game, Clemson, how the mighty have fallen, as our buddy Lee Sterling reminded us last hour. This is the first time since 2016 the Clemson Tigers have been an underdog in a football game. They're playing at Pittsburgh, the 23rd-ranked Pitt Panthers. Buck, where are we going?
We're going to go Panther City.
No!
That's right, the city of Pittsburgh. We're going Panthers.
Steel Town. John?
I'm going with Clemson. I think they got to prove something. I think they're going to do it this week.
All right, big battle at noon in Baltimore on Sunday. The Ravens are 5-1. The Bengals are hot on their heels in the AFC North at 4-2. They'll play at noon. John, who do you like, Bengals or Ravens?
Ravens.
Okay, and Buck, what are we doing?
I'm letting you have this one, E.
I'm going Ravens.
Okay.
I'll go Ravens. I like Joe Burrow. I like Joe Burrow a lot, but at the same time, if that game were in Cincinnati, which they
yes.
will have a rematch, a re-engagement of that, I would probably lean Cincy at this point. I think they're that good. But I would take Baltimore in an outright winner situation. And Titans-Chiefs from Tennessee, also a noon kick on Sunday. John, what do you think there?
This was a tough one for me. I'm going to go KC.
Kansas City on the road at Tennessee. Buck, what do we like?
We're taking King Henry.
Derrick Henry and the Titans to rumble and stumble and win the game. All right, John, we've got you down. We've got the Team McClellan picks, and we look forward to our visit next Friday.
All right, gentlemen. Hook them.
Thank you, John.
Have a good weekend. Enjoy the bye week. All right, there's John McClellan. There we go. So, again, and, you know, I'm looking for the NFL games this week. Those two games we just picked are both noon games. So you got noon. You know, I'm looking at these games. We're going to get like the America's Game of the Week kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. The late afternoon games. Jeez, this is
nothing.
There's absolutely a date day. And have a picnic or something on
have
Sunday.
Have a picnic.
Because the best games are at noon. You can be done with those by 3 o'clock. Your afternoon selection, Lions-Rams. That's the Matt Stafford-Jared Goff Bowl, right? And the Lions are 0-6, and the Rams are 5-1.
And the Lions coach is mad.
That's going to be a slaughtering. Jared Goff may get benched in his return. If he doesn't play well early, he could be out.
Yeah, Dan Campbell's not happy with him.
He's not at all. Well, the Lions are finding out what the Rams knew, and it's one of the reasons Jared Goff, Sean McVay wanted Goff out. Like, after giving him a big contract, he didn't like his work ethic, didn't like his leadership, and didn't like the throws he made very often. So they made the trade for Stafford, and they're much happier. And then your other afternoon games, Eagles-Raiders. That do anything for you?
No.
With Rich Bisaccia now coaching the silver and black. Bears-Buccaneers?
That really does nothing for me.
What is Tom Brady's crew going to do at home to Justin Fields?
Tom Brady will throw 5 touchdown passes against that secondary.
But if you were in Chicago, Buck, if you were in Chicago, you'd be, because look, the Bears are 3-2, and they feel like they've got their new quarterback in place in Justin Fields. This is a big game for them.
They do, yeah, for sure.
They're going to get smoked. And then the Texans play the Cardinals. Ugh, that's a blowout.
That's a terrible game, too.
And then the night game, Sunday night, Colts 49ers. Not doing anything for you?
Nope.
You got, Trey Lance against Carson Wentz there. Didn't they go to the same college?
I think they did.
Yeah, man. What's that? South Dakota State Bowl coming up Sunday night. And then your Monday night game is Saints and Seahawks.
Which I still like.
You like that one?
I do. I think the Saints get back on the winning form.
I'm just waiting to see where... When does Michael Thomas come back for the Saints? Doesn't he still play for them? Like one of the best wide receivers
still
in
their roster somehow, yes.
God, they're just bad without him. I mean, their receiving core, they have no weapons. I said this earlier, but it reminds me of when the Cowboys, remember, it was just Zeke, and they would load the box, and they had no receivers, and the Cowboys had the idea of, like, Jason Garrett's got receiver by committee for Dak Prescott, and that means you had no receivers, and poor Dak, I mean, poor Zeke would just get crushed. That's what Alvin Kamara is dealing with right now with the Saints on a week-by-week basis, but they're sitting at 3-2. Seahawks are 2-4, but Russell Wilson is still hurt, so you get Geno Smith, and last night we had the Browns beating the Broncos. This is Tom McKay on the text line. You guys messed up. Oklahoma State wins that game.
Yeah, okay. We'll see.
I'm not a believer in the mullet.
No, I'm
I know
not,
they
I'm
just
not
beat
either.
Texas. I did think that the stat John that Lee Sterling gave last hour was really compelling. That they've only given in their last 5 wins, they've given up a total of 7 fourth quarter points.
Yeah, but I believe Iowa State will continue to run the ball with their running back.
I mean, think about that, though, Buck. I mean, they've played Boise State in that mix. They played Baylor in that conversation. Texas, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And against those teams, what does that tell you? They make really good adjustments defensively through the course of a game if teams are scoring early, but then 7 total points in those wins in the fourth quarter total.
And we haven't seen anything from Iowa State's offense, really, that will take off. We'll see.
That becomes the question about what I mean, is there a bigger enigma right now, maybe in all of college football, than Iowa State? They came in as a top 10 team in the preseason. They looked lousy against Iowa and lost.
And they're a win away, and this is the one right here.
And then they lost to Baylor. Remember, they lost to Northern Iowa, or almost lost to Northern Iowa to start the season. Then they lost to Iowa, the Hawkeyes, in the Cy-Hawk game. Then they lost in Waco to the Baylor Bears, and you're thinking, okay, well, as you just said, Buck, now they've gotten things going. Breece Hall had almost 200 yards rushing last week. And now they get a chance against a top 10 team
at home
in Ames to make a statement and say, look, we're back in this thing. And if Iowa State were to beat Oklahoma State Saturday, Buck, they would be 1 game behind Oklahoma.
Yep.
And they still have to play the Sooners.
That's right.
This year. So that's coming up in November. So we'll watch that game. That's the most compelling game in the Big 12 this weekend. We'll see who's for real and who's not. And it's a battle of two quarterbacks who you just don't trust, right? You don't trust Brock Purdy. And, boy, if they can stop the run and Jaylen Warren – can Spencer Sanders win a game through the air on the road at Iowa State?
I don't know.
Now, I don't know about the 7 points. Vegas, that's a big number to have an unranked team against a top 10 team, 7 points. That's a lot. But Lee Sterling took Iowa State.
Yeah, I'm in with him on that.
To cover it, the number even. Yeah, I don't know.
There's some decent games. Ohio State's got a good game this week with Indy. Remember how Indy gave them such a fits the last time they played?
Yeah, that was Justin Fields' worst game at Ohio State was against Indiana last year, even though they won that football game. Yeah, it's just...
And I like Penn State getting back up on the horse. They've been off. It seems like they've been off for a couple weeks. And
now, that's one of your lock picks of the weekend, right?
Yes, it is.
You've given us three. You went 3-0 last week. You've climbed over 500 at 11-10 through 21 picks, three per week. You've gone Penn State.
TCU.
Horny Toads.
And the Titans.
And the Tennessee Titans. Getting 4 points. I'm going to give you the half. I'm going to give you the hook. You're getting 4.5.
Okay.
At home with Kansas City. But the point Lee Sterling made last hour is a cogent one. Although Josh Allen couldn't get the win, the Tennessee secondary is rough.
Patrick Mahomes is pretty good. But they can't tackle that big guy. That big guy's going to be bumbling and stumbling.
There's no part of me that doesn't think Derrick Henry's going to have a huge game and continue his record-setting pace that he's on.
Right.
But they can score 28 points and lose 35-28. You know what I'm saying? Because their defense isn't that great. And Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill.
I'm looking for Henry to have those long runs, those 65-yarders. Where he breaks through and nobody, nobody
like
lays a glove on him.
22 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah. Nobody wants any piece of that.
Sometimes when you watch him play, it looks like a video game. Like he's a created player on a video game.
I know.
You ever do that, Zay, where you play those games and you create your own dude and it's, Zay Collier?
He's a monster.
And it looks like him.
Yeah.
It's like, and he plays offense and defense.
And he's playing against 99, everything.
And he's playing against Kansas City's defense.
Oh, yeah. And you let him play two ways?
They don't like contact.
Well, not so far, right?
No, they've been covering the pass forever at practice.
Ooh, are you saying that the Chiefs are getting soft, it sounds like?
Oh, they are on defense. I don't think they're toughening up.
Well, your scout team tries to run what the other team, they're going to play runs, but at the same time, yeah. I mean, if you have a finesse offense, it's a lot of times that does impact your defense.
Yeah, and that's the kind of players that you have doing that, showing, giving you the looks.
Not real physical.
No.
Yeah, there you go.
Longhorns.
Ooh. Iron sharpens iron. If that's true, what if you don't have iron? What are you sharpening?
You're just bringing out a bunch of dudes getting run over in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, man.
When teams decide they want to run the ball.
All right, so there's your weekend of
college. How is that going to change for next week? That's what I want to know.
You like that?
How does that change with Baylor? I mean, what do you do to change all this stuff in 1 week?
We will talk in our final segment coming up in our fourth quarter of action here. We're going to finish strong.
Yes.
I'll get you a couple of notes of maybe and we talked to Chip Brown about it yesterday, some other insider thoughts on what adjustments and changes could be being made during the bye week. We'll get to that for Texas here coming up. Also get you set up for the weekend. It's B&E on the Horn.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
How are we doing in this fourth quarter so far?
So far, so good. John McClain was rock solid. Your picks were rock solid.
You didn't give me yours. I know you got something hidden in there.
I like UTSA.
Roadrunners?
Yeah, that's only a 6.5-point line. I think they win by double digits. Kind of like SMU last night. SMU.
SMU was something last night.
I don't want to run favorites. I like Cincinnati against anybody they play right now in the American Athletic Conference. They're as good as most teams in the Big Ten, and they're now playing the AAC. I know the lines are big.
What about Notre Dame USC this weekend?
Gosh, at one point that was the biggest rivalry in college football, and now it's not even getting much notice because
not at all.
I would favor Notre Dame in that game.
Okay,
Notre Dame. I don't even know what the line is.
It's at South Bend. I think it's 6.5.
Since it's only a pick 'em, I do like Texas Tech because they're at home.
In Columbus,
and Columbia's in town. West Virginia is the ultimate up and down team right now. And you just got to get a victory on your home field. I like Texas Tech.
Yeah.
I'll lean on that one.
I think they got K-State. It's TCU that's got West Virginia.
And I will also say this, sixth-ranked Michigan playing Northwestern in Ann Arbor.
That's 23.
Yeah, I could see Northwestern keeping it closer than that. I like Pat Fitzgerald. It's a 3-3 Northwestern team, and his teams get better as the year goes on.
True.
I think the more tape you get on Michigan, Michigan will win that game, but I'll take those 23
points. How about Penn State, Illinois? Penn State's been off for a while. Their quarterback is probably coming back to play.
Can I play something for you that was said this week?
Okay.
Brett Bielema, the head coach at Illinois, remember the Illini came out and beat Nebraska week one? Everybody was fired up.
Right.
Well, here's Brett Bielema this week talking about the problems in we'll get him here coming up talking about the problems in Champaign-Urbana. And, yeah, they're playing Penn State this week. Now, only issue with Only issue with Penn State is, does James Franklin and all the coaching chatter become somewhat of a distraction? There's talk of him at, LSU. There's talk of him at USC. So I don't think so.
LSU is one place I really don't see him.
Yeah. Here is Brett Bielema this week talking about, you know, being honest about his talent level.
I just know this. As a head coach, you're only as good as your roster, right? I kind of learned that the first time I went to the Kentucky Derby, right? Nobody was betting on the jockeys. Everybody was betting on the horses, right? So to win a Derby, you got to have the right horse. And I think our players are going to be a reflection of what our program stands for. I stood at the front of the room last year when I took over and said everybody is invited back because of COVID. They gave me the opportunity to do that. But as this roster continues to transition, I've got to make tough decisions. Players have to make decisions. The roster is going to have to change to get to where we want to be to win a championship. So I recognize that probably midway through the spring last year, through the summer, just certain positions haven't maybe played out the way they envisioned them to. In particular, the offensive line, I don't believe we have a player in the two deep that they've recruited here over the last 3 years that is really significantly doing anything for us in the playing department. And that's a major concern, right? So,
are you just being honest?
We have to do. The top two quarterbacks that have played to this point are both transfers, right? So there hasn't been any development at that position that is significantly playing right now. Isaiah was that guy, but he's obviously playing a wider position, wide receiver position in Deuce. So defensively, we knew there was going to be an evolution just kind of on the style of defense that we played. We got to definitely get a lot of bigger bodies, I believe, up front to get what we want to get done to play in this league at a consistent level. So there's things that we're definitely evolving
right,
every day. And as a head
there's
coach,
Brent Bielema. He doesn't like his roster.
He's just telling you. I mean, he understands.
Well, sounds like he's inviting people to leave if they like. Yeah.
Or he looked in the front of the room. He probably wouldn't ask like 10 guys, hey, you won't be here next year. You won't be here. You won't be here. I know you won't be here.
Well,
but coaches don't generally say that.
Typically, they don't say it publicly.
I mean, no.
Because I think behind the scenes, Steve Sarkisian is thinking the same.
Well, I hope he is.
He does see
that offensive line playing.
Right, and this is why they're out recruiting right now. They have the number two ranked recruiting class in the nation for the Rivals 24/7 composite for 2022.
I know if I'm the president, I don't want that guy saying that.
That's probably not for public consumption. We can all guess that that's going on. But,
sure.
At some point in that long cut, he kind of alluded to, man, we may invite you to leave at this point.
By the way,
I had to bring you back for COVID.
By the way, we don't suck as coaches, but you guys suck as players.
That's what he said. You're only as good as your roster.
Yeah.
Well, it's true, coach, but you are the coach.
You've been there for 2 years.
Well, and that goes to the Longhorns. We'll get into this knee-deep next week when it's game week again, and we'll hear from Sark on Monday at the game week news conference. But, you know, three keys for me, Buck, coming into this bye week. I agree with Chip Brown from yesterday. They have to go to some more four-man line as a defense, right?
For sure.
And that seems obvious because they're much deeper at defensive line than they are linebacker.
Right.
So get your better players. Be more stout at the point of attack against these running teams you're going to face. Go to some more four-down linemen. Get them overshown healthy what they do. I do like the idea of Josh Thompson maybe experimenting at safety. And yes, you know, there's got to be a fourth quarter script for Steve Sarkisian. There's got to be a plan for the fourth quarter.
Yeah, he's got to win the game. He's going to have to win some games here himself for this football team.
And know that what's working in the first half, they're going to adjust to it and take it away. You got to have that counterpunch, right?
Right, absolutely.
Has to be. All right, Buck. Well, have a good weekend. Enjoy the Burger Center tonight and the Atomic Nachos.
Yes, indeed.
Zay, Bulldogs keeping it close tonight? Bowie Bulldogs?
I hope so.
Come on, Bowie. Bowie and Lake Travis tonight, right here on 104.9. And of course, you'll also hear it on 105.3, the Bowie channel. So we've got a double barrel.
If I keel over, you know I had my finger in the nachos.
Don't do that, please. Don't do that.
I'm hoping not.
Hey, for the first time in 4 weeks, our Saturday morning lineup is back tomorrow, starting at 7 a.m. with Playing Through. And, of course, Big Ugly Tailgate with Casey and the crew, Colonel Flowers on the High Ground, and Rodney Rodriguez with Revved Up ATX, and then Tyler Campbell. Remember that racing coverage all weekend long from Stu and Rodney at hornfm.com and our Facebook page. F1, the race is Sunday. We'll be talking about it on Monday. Have a great weekend.